Let's be turning to 1 Samuel chapter 7. I want to begin reading verse 12. 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now, this is the time when this place is given that name, Ebenezer. It had been mentioned in chapter 4 and chapter 5, but it wasn't yet called Ebenezer until this time here. And Ebenezer means the stone of help. And our stone of help is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the stone upon whom we stand complete and accepted before God. Outside of Christ, there is no acceptance with Holy God. There is no forgiveness. There's no life, no light, no fellowship outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ is all those things. All those spiritual blessings are in Him. And this stone of help was put there as a means of causing Israel to remember. For you and I to be mindful of what the Lord has done for His people. For Israel here, it's a reminder to them of how the Lord defeated her enemies, how the Lord delivered her. She was unable to deliver herself of her oppressors, and everything she tried, she was unable to succeed in giving herself relief from her enemies, the Philistines. But this chapter now is intended to serve as a reminder for believers in every generation, not just Israel then, but the true Israel of God even now. This is to put our heart and mind upon the hope of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these verses here, we'll see, they testify to you of the mercy and grace of God to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see how our God takes His people from dead works, wicked works, idolatry that cannot save. We saw that in chapter 4 when Israel tried to deliver herself of her oppressors and the Lord didn't give them the victory. They were defeated. Then they turned to religion. They brought the Ark of the Covenant into the camp thinking that if we do these things, if we practice this religion, then God will bless us and it'll be our salvation. Well, it wasn't, because God's not going to let His people have any vain, false idea that it's their works and religion that saves them and gives them blessings by their doing. No, not at all. Our blessings are all of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we saw how the Lord, when He was in the camp of the Philistines in the temple of Dagon, how that the Lord destroyed and defeated and tore down the idolatry of man. A picture of what He does in our own hearts and minds to deliver us from dead works and idolatry. And so we'll see. We're going to look at this chapter here. And in this chapter, I want to show you seven memorials, seven things that our Lord gives us in this stone of our help to remind us of what our God has done for you that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's His work of grace. And when He delivers you in Christ, and when he manifests the glory of God and the grace of God in Christ in your heart, these are the blessings He works for every one of you that this day believe the Lord Jesus Christ. So first, we're going to look at seven memorials. First, we see there's a division in the people. The Lord puts a division between His people and those that are not His people, between the wheat and the chaff. The Lord puts a division between the sheep and the goats. He puts a division between them that he gives faith to, and therefore they are of faith in those that are of the flesh. And we see this first in the men of Beth Shemesh when the ark came to them back in chapter 6. And when the ark was returned, they rejoiced for a time. They rejoiced for a season. They sacrificed to the Lord, and they were curious. And their curiosity had them look into the ark. And we're told back in 1 Samuel 6, verse 19. Look there. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. Now, that might be 50,000 and 70 souls, but it might be saying there that of the 50,000 inhabitants that were there, the Lord smote 70 men, 70 people. Either way, this is the thing that we're not to miss. Curiosity in the things of the Lord. Looking to the Lord with just a curious notion and passing to see what you can see, what dark things you could see, what hidden things you can learn. Without a heart of grace, without a converted heart, it's death. It's death. It's not going to save you. Just being curious about the Lord. Look and taste and see that the Lord is good. But don't come in your own strength. Come pleading and begging God for mercy and grace to bless you, to give you that heart to seek him, to give you an understanding in the Lord. And so these people showed they had no heart of repentance given to them. Look now at 1 Samuel 6, 20 and 21. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us?" And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, which is the city of the forest, saying, "The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you." They wanted the removal of the ark from them. They wanted the presence of the ark put far from them, just like we saw in chapter 6, when the Philistines wanted the ark put far from them. They wanted it removed. And so that brings us here to chapter 7, verse 1. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. Now, just historically, this is probably when the priesthood came back to the proper lineage of Aaron's sons. It had been the younger son. Eli was of the younger son of Aaron, not the eldest. And so perhaps that's what we read of in Judges when you read of that priest who was way off in what he believed and was very wishy-washy at the end of Judges there. Perhaps that's when it's telling us when it came under Aaron's youngest son as opposed to the oldest. But now it goes back to the oldest of Aaron's sons. And it's also, we see the Lord removing the ark from Joseph's tribe, from Ephraim, and bringing it near to Judah, where it would ultimately find its resting place in Judah. So that's what's going on historically. Even the psalmist even writes this. Psalm 78, verses 67 and 68 says, "Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved." But here's the spiritual picture. We see here with these men of Beth Shemesh and those of Kirjath-Jearim how the Lord puts a division. It's a picture. It's to show us that the Lord puts a division in his people. And when we're to preach and to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people, because that's how the Lord saves his people, through the hearing of faith, and we declare Christ, and that's the spreading forth of the savor of the knowledge of God in every place. That is the savor of Jesus Christ. And by that savor, God manifests his will and his purpose in every place. And so we see this. Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter 2, verses 6 and 8, where we see the Lord puts a division between them that are of faith, those that he gives faith, and them that are of the flesh. And he said, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You that trust Christ shall never be ashamed for trusting Christ and trusting his righteousness. If you trust your own righteousness and your works, you will be ashamed to stand before God. But if you trust the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone, you shall never be ashamed. That's what that word confounded means. You will not be confounded. You will not be ashamed. You will not hear God say, what were you thinking? Why did you trust my son? No, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest, prepared for thee from before the foundation of the world. Because you believed God. You trusted the Son. And that's what he manifests in the hearts of all those he loves and gave to Christ before the foundation of the world. They believe Christ and trust him. It's his gift in the Lord Jesus Christ, life and salvation. Now listen to what Peter goes on to say, 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. We preach Christ because he's precious to us. He's all our salvation. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't speak to you about Christ. I'd tell you what to do. But the Lord has shown me that my works are wicked. And his word says your works are wicked and cannot save you. But Christ is able to save to the uttermost by the death of himself. And you shall never be ashamed trusting in him. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected or set aside, the same is made the head of the corner. That's the one that God exalted, Christ. But man, in his religion, rejected Christ. But that's the one whom God, the Father, exalted. That's who is exalted before his people this very night. Christ. Christ is all. He's salvation. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And so in Beth Shemesh, the Lord made known his power and glory. He brought the ark back. He delivered himself from the Philistines, having defeated the Philistines and shamed the Philistines and brought them low. And they rejoiced for a time in Beth Shemesh until they started dying. And then they wanted it out of there. It became a savor of death unto death in them, but in them of Kirjath Jearim, a savor of life unto life. A picture of Christ and how he divides the people. And that's the first memorial, is that we see how the Lord separates the people, how the Lord puts a division between those that are his and those that are not his. And you that are his, that's a blessed memorial stone, the stone of our help. Now the second thing that we see here is the patience of God in dealing with his people and in instructing his people. Look at verse 2, 1 Samuel 7, verse 2. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath Jearim, that the time was long. For it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. It had been a long time since the defeat of Israel back there at Ebenezer, before it was called that. It had been 20 years since their defeat and their shame and all the things they tried to do. It had been 20 years since that ark was taken and was with the Philistines for 7 months and back now. It had been 20 years, all right? 20 years now, a long time. And what we see here is how the Lord patiently dealt with his people, Israel, to make them to see their infirmities, their sins, their wicked deeds, but the grace and mercy of God in providing for them. You know, if you look back 20 years, you that are over 20 years old, and you look back 20 years now, that's a good amount of time for us that are but a vapor. Us that are here and gone quickly. 20 years is a good amount of time to us. And when you look back, if you're here today hearing the gospel, believing the Lord Jesus Christ, you look back at that 20 years and you see all kinds of memorials, all kinds of remembrances of how the Lord has dealt with you. You see times when you exalted yourself and the Lord brought you low. You see times when times of sorrow, times of suffering, times of great difficulty, times when you thought, I'm not going to survive this. I'm not going to make it through this. This is hard. I don't think I'm going to see the other side of this and the good on the other side of this. And yet through all that, all those times when you were pressed out of measure, those times when you were dealt with by the Lord and rebuked in his word and brought low in yourselves, and then how he comforted you with his gospel and brought you through those times. And you can look back and say, Lord, you've brought me here as it is this day. And you purpose to do this. I wouldn't have brought myself here, but you've brought me here. And you can look back and see all those times where the Lord kept you and dealt with you. And rather than slay you, he had the donkey you were on just crush your leg up against the wall and prevent you from being slain when the angel of the Lord stood in your path. And how he saved you rather than destroying you as your sins deserve. I can testify to that. How the Lord is gracious and very kind and patient and deals with his people the way we have need of being dealt with. To bring us to see this day, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for not destroying me, though my sins deserved it. And for giving me repentance and turning me from death and turning me from the world and turning me to Christ and blessing me in the Lord Jesus Christ. For some of us, we can honestly say it's a wonder that I'm even here. And if we're all honest, when we see it, it's truly a wonder that any of us are here, because it's all of his grace, all of his grace and mercy. And so 20 years, the Lord's dealing with his people for their good and to make you to know, as you know this day, Christ is all, because that's not of the flesh, that is of his spirit and of his grace to give that to his people. I like the verse that Isaiah 30 verse 18, where he says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And so all this time, these 20 years, the Lord has sweetly influenced his people and blessed them under the ministry of Samuel, instructing them and saying, don't go to the left. Nope, don't go to the right. Don't go that way. You go this way. And he brings us in the way of Christ. And he does it. He does it. He does it perfectly and prepares them and makes his people ready for his grace and for his blessings in the day which he purposes to bless his people and speak with them. So that's the second memorial of his grace to us, is to behold. Just look back and you'll see, you know, if I'm really honest, I can see the hand of the Lord and how he dealt with me and his people all through the way. You can do that every decade, every 20 years, every year if you're still young. You could see how the Lord, it's how he leads you and brings you through the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, third, we see in verse 3. Verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel. We see here the blessing that the Lord gives to his people to give them the word, to bless us with the preaching of the gospel, to bless us with the hearing of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To do for you more than just have you sit on the couch and listen to tapes and CDs or online. He blesses you with a fellowship and brings you into his fold, into the inn. And he provides for you and gives you a pastor and blesses you with his word. That's a comforting thing. That's a memorial. That's a testimony of God's grace and kindness to you, to keep you. Because anyone that spent time on a couch in their living room all alone, maybe with their family, but with no one else, it's lonely. And you think foolish thoughts, and you can justify a lot of things on your own. But it's a gracious thing when the Lord brings you and brings his sheep together, because that's what sheep are meant to do, to be together. And so if you don't have that, move. That's not for you here, but I mean, anyone listening, if you don't have that blessing, go to where there is a gospel church. You know, there's a lot of buildings on many corners, but I heard someone say, and I think they're right, you know, they said Ichabod here in chapter 4 when the ark was taken and Phinehas' wife said Ichabod, for the glory of God is taken. They noted that could be said on put on many church doors, Ichabod. The glory of God is removed. It's taken. It's not there. And so if you're in a local assembly where the gospel is preached, that's a blessing. That's a memorial of God's grace and kindness to you. To you. That's a blessing. Now here's the instruction. Here's the fourth thing, the instruction they heard. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth, right? So the plurality of gods, Balaam and Ashtaroth, single, from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam, that's the plural, and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. Now, what you just heard, you that hear Christ and believe him, you just heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? When we hear that, what does God do? When he declares the gospel of Christ and what Christ has done to save his people from their sins, how that he was sent to the Father, took upon him this flesh, but without sin, as the fit sacrifice, went to the cross in perfect obedience to the Father, having fulfilled all righteousness, having kept the law perfectly, he laid down his life, bearing the sins of his people, and put away our sins forever, and obtained life and forgiveness for us. All by himself. He did that. That's the gospel. And because Christ did that, God raised him from the dead and gives us light and life, his spirit, and all the spiritual blessings. All right? So now when you hear that, what you just read there, and you can read it again later, that's the gospel. Because what it's saying there is we are turned from idolatry. We're turned from the dead works and idolatry of this world. Two, we are given a heart for the Lord. We're given a new heart. He takes out that dead, hard, wicked heart and gives his people a new heart, his spirit. That gives us a new heart. And we're given faith. He manifests his life in us by the revelation of faith, by giving us faith, which looks to Christ. And fourth, we are delivered from the power of our enemies. Now let me tell you what that means there in the gospel. We're to hear this instruction, not in the covenant of works under the law of Moses. That's not how we're to hear that, because we, by nature, have no ability to hear that, no desire to hear that, and no ability to obey the truth of God perfectly in all things. We can't do it. We don't do it. We're to hear it in the new man of faith. We're to hear it in faith, all right? Now, what does this mean? First of all, the blessing of Christ to his people in the preaching of the gospel, what the Lord does when he gives his word power, he turns the sinner who's dead in trespasses and sins, he gives us life, and he turns us from trusting in dead, wicked works religion. Trusting that this is my salvation and thinking this is how I save myself and this is how I get blessings from God is doing the practice of this religion. Whether it's this doctrine or that doctrine or this ceremonial thing or that ceremonial thing, people put their trust in that. To this day, they're still trusting it. They use the name Jesus, but they put their trust in dead works religion. And the Lord turns his child from trusting that to trust in Christ, that he is all my salvation. He is the very salvation of God's people. He is the Savior. We don't save ourselves by religion and the practice of religion. We are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who blesses his word. He's the one who takes, the Spirit takes of the things of Christ, and he blesses them to our hearts, that we trust in him and rest in him. So like he said, turn from your idolatry. That's what he does in the gospel. He turns us from wicked works, is what Paul called them. That is works of religion, wicked works, and trust in Christ. And then second we see here, that new heart, that's the giving of his Holy Spirit, who gives us a new birth, who gives us life from spiritual death, and trusting that we knew God and we're blessed of God in that dead works religion, and we're turned to Christ, and we have a new heart that believes him. And that's the third thing. He gives us faith to rest in the finished work of Christ. He gives us faith to believe that he's everything. And then the life and power of Christ delivers us from the power of the enemy and all our enemies. And this was the purpose of the Son of God being manifest, was to destroy the works of the devil. Which again, you can read in Colossians 2. You can read in Ephesians 2, which speaks of us being under the course of the spirit of the world and going the way of the world. And he delivers his people from that spirit and that unclean spirit. Let me read Romans 6:6 to you. Knowing this, this is under the heading of he delivers us from our enemies. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That body of sin, which we served in Adam, we serve that even in religion. Some people just go out and just live the way they want to live in the world. Others are very religious in the world. But it's the body of sin, trusting our works to save us. It's all the serving of sin in the body of sin. Well, Christ destroyed that dominion and power over us, so that now we're not fearful and afraid and running to and fro in religion, trying to fix what we've ruined and trying to make right by our works in religion. Now we're trusting Christ. Now we're turned to Christ. And that's a deliverance, to have that peace in Christ, to know that when I sin, that I can go to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. Because he does. I don't love my sin. I don't want to see sin in me, but it's there. It's present in these members. But we have an advocate with the Father. And we can go to the Father and pray, Lord, forgive me for Christ's sake. And rest in him and trust him to remove that guilt and the shame and the fear. Because rather than trying to somehow, I don't know, punish ourselves to a degree to finally feel comforted. We will never. That's not salvation. That's not peace. Christ is peace. Christ is all. And so that fourth memorial is that he blesses you to see Christ in the gospel. And that's how he turns you from idolatry and gives you a new heart and gives you faith and defeats all your enemies. It's in Christ. In Christ. That's the fourth. Now, let's look at verses 5 and 6. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And so, what's the Lord doing here? Why did he bring them to Mizpah? Well, Mizpah was either the very place or very near the place where Israel had gathered 20 years earlier to save themselves from their oppressors, right? To deliver themselves from the oppression of the Philistines, their enemies. Right? A picture of all our enemies. And they were defeated. They weren't successful. And then they got religion, and they still weren't successful. And then the Lord destroyed idolatry and all those pictures we saw there. He brought them right back to that spot as a memorial to show them where they sinned, where they ruined things, where they did their own thing and failed. And God humbled them so that they were brought to see, I'm the sinner. And the Lord shows us that. We know that all we've brought to this thing is a sinful, ruined nature and cannot save ourselves. And we need God's grace. And so the Lord brings his people, that fifth memorial there, to look back and to see, Lord, how gracious you've been, because I'm the sinner and I deserve to be destroyed. But you, Lord, are very gracious and kind. And so the Lord, it's not that we can look back and see no sin for many years. That's not our comfort. That's not salvation. It's that we can look to Christ and see how the Lord is gracious to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him. I like what Isaiah said in Isaiah 40 verse 2 when he said, she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What does that mean? What's the double for my sins? One, it's that rather than punish you for your sins, God forgives you for your sins. That's one thing. I deserve punishment. I deserve eternal death in hell, but God forgave me for Christ's sake. And the second thing is he gives you life and fellowship with him. That's the double. You don't deserve any of that. I don't deserve any of that. But in Christ, he forgives for sin and gives you life and fellowship with him and keeps you there. That's the double for all your sin. Now, verses 7 and 8. We're told, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Now, Israel wasn't there for war. They weren't prepared for war. They were going there to worship the Lord. And so they didn't have any carnal weapons. They were there seeking the Lord. Verse 8, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, now this is, very different from how it was before. They said, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And what the Lord does here in this sixth memorial is he brings us to see our justification. The reason why God is just to forgive you of your sins and just to give you life and all these blessings is because sin has been punished in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God may be gracious and merciful to you who don't deserve anything. Look at verse 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb, that is a baby lamb still nursing, and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And so that is the basis of our hope. The basis of our acceptance with holy God is because sin has been, the punishment of sin has been satisfied. The holy justice of God is satisfied in Christ. And that's why God is merciful to us who are sinners, to us who have no righteousness, to us who don't come to God with our own works of filthy rag righteousness, but come to him in the blood of Christ. God receives sinners in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and him alone. That's our hope there. And so that's our sixth memorial there. And that's why Christ is so precious to us. That's why he's so precious. Now, this is our final passage. Look at verses 10 through 13. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. He sent them running in terror. And they were smitten before Israel. They were defeated before Israel. So in this seventh memorial here, we're made to see how that the Lord fights the battles of his people and he overthrows our enemies. He silences the accuser. He's the one who turns the heart, which was doing wickedly, and turns us again to the Lord. He's the one who brings us to cry out to him, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, heal me. Lord, keep me. Lord, turn me. He's the one who defeats all our enemies and gives us victory over all our foes. And so that we know and are assured that in that day, though we be dead and laid in the grave, Christ shall return, and he shall call us with his voice, and we shall rise out of that grave. The grave cannot contain us. Death cannot keep us. Nothing can turn us from the grace and salvation of our God. And the men of Israel, it says in verse 11, went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And so we see in these perfect number of memorials how that the Lord has been so gracious, so kind to us as it is this day, in blessing us richly with all spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, verse 13, the Philistines were subdued. All that death resulting from our sin is dealt with and defeated in Christ. And they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. That is, the Lord continues to subdue our sin. He continues to turn us from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He'll humble us when we have need of humbling, but he's the one keeping at bay our enemies. His strength, his glory, his power, his honor, it's all his in the Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in him. I pray he continue to bless you in the Lord Jesus Christ and give you many, many memorials of his grace all the days of your life, brethren.